Chapter 6, Hunting and Herding Sea Life. The living world is dying in our time. When our forebears commenced their exploitation of this continent, they believed the animate resources of the New World were infinite and inexhaustible. The vulnerability of that living fabric, the intricacy and fragility of its all too finite parts, was beyond their comprehension. It can be said in their defense that they were mostly ignorant of the inevitable consequences of their dreadful depredations. We who are alive today can claim no such exculpation for our biocidal actions and their dire consequences. Farley Mowat, Sea of Slaughter. Earth provides enough to satisfy every man's need, but not every man's greed. Mahatma Gandhi. Toxic wastes, toxic flesh. When we look at fish, shellfish, dairy products, and eggs, the animal foods considered the least unhealthy by the general public, it may seem at first blush that these foods cause less suffering than eating the flesh of birds or other mammals. We'll look first at some of the consequences of eating the animals who inhabit the waters of our earth. Like the flesh of all animals, the flesh of fish and shellfish is high in the three toxic elements described earlier: saturated animal fat, cholesterol, and animal protein. The percentage of saturated fat relative to unsaturated fat may be, quote, better in fish than in other animals, but fish is not, by any stretch of the imagination, a low-fat food. Besides being generally high in fat, cholesterol, and animal protein, and thus encouraging heart disease, cancer, obesity, diabetes, and the other negative effects of eating these substances, fish, because they live in water, are generally even more toxic than factory-farmed birds and mammals. That is saying a lot. How could that be? The basic reason is that the millions of tons of toxins that are produced by our culture all end up eventually in the water. The largest share of this pollution comes from animal agriculture in the form of herbicide, pesticide, fungicide, and chemical fertilizer runoff from fields, and sewage from factory farms rich in drug residues and other toxins. Livestock produce 10,000 pounds of manure for every person in the U.S., and the excess phosphorus and nitrogen from this waste causes algal blooms, red tides, and the proliferation of deadly one-celled creatures like Pisteria piscicida that kill billions of fish and cause grotesque sores on human swimmers. Waters are further polluted by the whole range of carcinogenic dioxins, polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs, toxic heavy metals from industrial wastes, and other residues from mining, tanning, paper, energy, petroleum, and industrial production, as well as noxious pharmaceutical residues and radioactive contamination from nuclear leakage. In addition to all this, the toxins that pollute the air are eventually washed into lakes and oceans, and solid waste sites and landfills are also leached by water, which carries their toxins into rivers and aquifers. Water is our planet's universal solvent, and the whole range of environmental contaminants we produce ends up eventually in our rivers, lakes, streams, and aquifers, leading to increasingly severe pollution of our oceans. There are large oceanic areas called dead zones where no fish can survive the water's extreme toxicity and its lack of oxygen, a condition known as hypoxia. This is the result of the massive amounts of nitrogen fertilizer and livestock manure running into rivers and oceans. This unnatural, quote, high nutrient water encourages the profusion of algae and a consequent depletion of oxygen, bringing suffocation to fish and sea life. One such dead zone of over 7,000 square miles is off the coast of Louisiana, where every day the Mississippi River dumps billions of gallons of water, poisoned by agricultural runoff and industrial discharge, into the Gulf of Mexico, wreaking havoc on its delicate and mysteriously interconnected marine ecosystems. To eat animals who live in our Earth's waters is to eat our own noxious pollution concentrated many times. We know that environmental toxins concentrate in the fatty tissue of all animals. This basic fact should give us pause. Both freshwater and saltwater fish amass and store toxic substances and carcinogenic chemicals in their flesh in concentrations that are actually hundreds of thousands of times greater than in the water itself. There are two basic reasons for this. First, fish breathe water, passing it over their gills to extract vital oxygen. Thus, through breathing, all fish consume an enormous amount of water, and the toxins tend to collect in their gills and end up in the fatty tissues of their flesh. Secondly, large fish are carnivores who live on smaller fish, who in turn live on even smaller fish, who eat still smaller fish. Unlike land animals and birds, who are mostly herbivorous, with a few top carnivores who may eat the much more plentiful mice, rabbits, deer, and so forth, fish live in a more toxic, carnivorous world. At each level, the concentration of toxins multiplies exponentially. We like to eat mainly larger fish, like tuna, swordfish, shark, and salmon. Researchers show that the flesh of large fish contains extremely high concentrations of toxins, and that according to the Environmental Protection Agency, for example, carcinogenic PCB concentrations in fish are roughly 9 million times the concentration in the water. Shellfish also become highly toxic because they typically live closer to shore and are thus bathed in waters that have higher concentrations of noxious effluents. The more toxic agricultural and industrial runoff we produce, the more toxic the flesh of water-dwelling creatures becomes. Because humans have become the planet's top carnivore, our flesh has become perhaps the most toxic, reflected in our high cancer rates. It is an unfortunate beginning for a baby to drink the milk of an omnivorous mother and be deluged with the toxins that ride in her milk. DDT, for example, is still in use throughout much of the world, and breastfeeding women who eat fish show significant levels of DDT and other pesticide contamination in their breast milk. The babies of all mammals, particularly whales and dolphins, but also, of course, cows, goats, and sheep, may also be hurt by the high concentrations of toxins in their mother's milk. The offspring of farmed animals typically get none of their mother's milk anyway. It is stolen from them before they can get any. Before we go into the subject of cow's milk, though, we can look more closely at the implications of mistakenly interpreting fish, crabs, lobsters, oysters, shrimp, and other water creatures as food for humans. Fish flesh is, as Michael Clapper, MD, points out, quote, very concentrated protein, end quote. Because protein is basically only used to grow hair and nails, to heal wounds and rebuild tissue, and in children to grow, we typically take in more protein than we can use with a fish fillet. Our bodies cannot store protein, so we must metabolize it, which causes stress on our liver, kidneys, and immune system. Clapper also warns against consuming fish flesh and oil for other reasons. Quote, the fish oils that are promoted as providing protection to the arteries from atherosclerosis may also pose a serious hazard because they decrease the blood's ability to coagulate to stop bleeding. Fish flesh has also been shown to inhibit the action of insulin. This is bad news for any diabetic trying to maintain normal blood sugar levels while taking fish oil capsules and possibly eating a diet high in fish flesh. Another unpublicized but potentially important problem results from fish oil's apparent tendency to increase the length of a normal pregnancy. An overly long gestation time increases the birth weight of the baby and thus the attendant risk of birth accidents, cesarean sections, and maternal deaths. Despite current advertising campaigns, no one needs to eat the oil squeezed out of a fish's flesh or liver. In fact, the oil of a fish's liver is one of the strangest substances to consider eating. The liver of any animal is the chemical detoxifier for the body and thus concentrates all the pollutants consumed by that animal. The oil squeezed from fish livers may contain high levels of hydrocarbon toxins, such as PCBs and dioxins. People who use fish oil to, quote, protect their arteries may actually be poisoning themselves with hydrocarbons and thus increasing their cancer risk from these dietary oils. The better solution is to keep one's arteries clear by not loading the blood with saturated animal fats in the first place. People who do not eat saturated animal fats generally have a much lower risk of clogging their arteries. Fish is not brain food. In fact, it now may well have become just the opposite. Mercury poisons the brain and nerve cells. Because in our current dietary understanding, a vegan diet can, in theory, meet all the body's nutritional needs and help protect against clogged arteries, heart attacks, strokes, and cancers, you will do your health and the fish a favor by letting them off the hook. End quote. Becoming Vegan outlines in detail the plant-based sources of the omega-3 fatty acids that people often eat fish, flesh, or oil to obtain. The main sources are flax seeds, walnuts, soybeans, tofu, canola oil, hemp oil, dark greens, and seaweeds. Fish absorb and intensely concentrate toxins like PCBs, dioxins, radioactive substances, and heavy metals like mercury, lead, cadmium, and arsenic, all of which are linked to cancer as well as nervous system disorders, kidney damage, and impaired mental functioning. They contain excessive amounts of cholesterol, animal protein, and hazardous blood-altering oils. Besides contributing directly to human disease and suffering through the toxicity of its products, the seafood industry causes enormous damage to marine ecosystems throughout the world. Herding fish. Most people don't realize that the confinement and factory farming of fish and shellfish is a large and growing industry, euphemized as the Blue Revolution. In fact, according to the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization, about 30% of worldwide saltwater and freshwater seafood production comes from commercial fish farm operations. In the U.S., the percentages are somewhat higher, with approximately 40% of shrimp, crab, and other shellfish, 90% of salmon, and 65% of freshwater fish consumed here coming from aquaculture operations. Trout, catfish, tilapia, and other freshwater fish are forced to live in horrendously overcrowded concrete troughs. I talked with an investigator who visited a fish farm in Illinois, housed inside an enormous metal shed. When she went in, the air was so putrid she could barely breathe. The huge, shallow pond inside was completely black, and at first she couldn't see any fish. Then she realized the water was utterly full of fish, severely crowded together, and the blackness of the water was due to the concentration of their feces. I've seen abysmally overcrowded fish confined to feces-blackened water in outdoor fish farms in Southern California, and contemplated the miserable lives of these creatures, crammed inescapably in their own excrement and then mercilessly slaughtered. People order this at local restaurants, ironically believing they're getting their healthy omega-3s, or the fish that is recommended for their blood type. Obviously, fish farmed in commercial aquaculture operations accumulates toxins from the water through gill breathing, and large amounts of antibiotics are routinely used, not only to unnaturally spur growth, but also to control the disease that is an ever-present threat in such unhygienic conditions. The fish feed also contains high levels of contaminants because besides grains, it often contains feces, offals, and other byproducts of the livestock industry, as well as fish and fish byproducts not fit for human or pet consumption. Saltwater fish farming also involves inhumane and unhealthy overcrowding of the fish, usually in offshore pens. These operations cause an enormous amount of water pollution, forcing thousands of fish to live in highly concentrated areas with feces, antibiotics, pesticides, and toxic chemicals, such as the pigments that turn farmed salmon flesh from dull gray to appetizing pink, all flowing right into the surrounding ocean waters. Scotland's caged salmon, for example, create an amount of untreated waste equivalent to that from 8 million people, far more than Scotland's human population. These fish farming operations have an ironically devastating effect on ocean fisheries because the fish being grown require large quantities of other fish in their feed. For example, it takes 3 to 5 pounds of wild ocean fish to produce 1 pound of farmed saltwater fish or shrimp. In addition to all this, fish farming fosters disease that can easily spread to wild salmon or other fish and wipe out whole stocks. This is what has happened with chronic wasting disease in wild elk and deer herds infected by cattle operations. As but one example, parasitic sea lice are rampant in the unnaturally concentrated populations of farmed salmon. The industry uses toxic pesticides and antibiotics in its vain struggle to control the lice, who spread in clouds in the surrounding water, stretching up to 19 miles around the farms, infesting wild salmon populations in the area and decimating them. Another practice that is wreaking havoc with wild populations is the introduction of non-native farmed fish species that escape into local ecosystems. Commercial shrimp farms are another particularly well-known and egregious ecological disaster, causing pollution that is killing precious coral reefs and coastal mangrove forests worldwide. The fish flesh obtained from commercial aquaculture factory farms is intensified misery, toxicity, and environmental devastation.